last week we started, and then a bunch more showed up. I hope it's like that again today. I'm glad you all are here. We have a thank you card. It says to our church family, thank you all for your prayers and the flowers during the loss of our brother. We love and appreciate all of you. God bless Tom and Sharon. And so, and you guys are still in our prayers, and glad that you're here with us this morning. We don't have much in a way of announcements. Mitzi texted me earlier in the week and said, what do you got for the bulletin? And I said, I'll have to think about it. And I didn't come up with anything, but we are, I don't know when or how many people we're going to need, but we're going to try and get this hallway redone, and especially down in the gym part. We got to patch some holes and spray some texture, and I think the lady that painted the inside of the church here is going to come and maybe paint the hallway for us. And so in the next two or three weeks, hopefully, I told Mike when he has a free Saturday to let me know, and we're going to come up and start working on it. If anybody would like to help us, let me know. I'm probably not going to do a official work day, because we'll have 10 guys up here and only have two or three jobs for two or three people. But if anybody would like to help when we do that, let me know, because I'd be glad to have you. I'll find something for you to do, but hopefully in the next two or three weeks we can do some of this in here. And that's it for announcements. Let's stand and worship the Lord.
from the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been
Jesus, thank you for your presence here with us this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to every heart. Lord, I don't mean that casual. I don't mean that in a taking it for granted way. But Father, I pray, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this morning, that you would minister to us this morning, that it would not be my voice that people hear this morning, but it would be your Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This week I've been thinking about expectation. There's so many different things in our life that when we do, we expect certain things to happen. If you go to the bank to cash a check, you expect to get cash back, right? You don't go sign your name on a check and turn it in at the bank and then don't expect to get anything in return. You know, when I leave here, I'm going to expect to get in my car and put the key in the ignition and turn the key, and I'm going to expect my car to start. We all live with expectations each and every day in our life. You work, you expect to get paid. You know, you flip a light switch, you expect the light to come on. You know, you turn the air up or down, you expect the house to get cooler or warmer. You know, we all live with different expectations in our life. But what about with God? Do we have certain expectations from God, from our Lord Jesus? Ephesians 3 is where we're going to begin, and we'll just get into this because as I've been thinking about this, and I think sometimes with our Lord, we don't really expect to hear from Him. We really don't expect a relationship in the way that if I call one of you, I expect for you to answer and you to talk to me. And I mean that not in a disrespectful way, like, God, I expect you to do this, but just in an expectation of a friendship and a fellowship of the communication. Does that make sense? If I call Casey, I expect to talk to Casey, and I expect he'll answer, and I expect he'll communicate. How many of us have that relationship with our Father in heaven that we expect to hear from Him when we ask a question, when we talk to Him, when we seek Him? Ephesians 3, verse 14, it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being." Okay, right there. Do we ever pray for strength? I do. I pray for strength a lot, but do I really expect it? Do I really think when I'm praying that God's hearing, that I'm going to get stronger, that I'm going to be able to overcome that sin, that I'm going to be able to overcome that temptation, that I'm going to be able to overcome that fear? Or do I just pray? It says to strengthen us in our inner being. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and how and high and deep is the love of Christ. That's a lot there that we just read. I could probably stop and talk the rest of the service on that. But the power of God, and to grasp how much God loves you. You know, 2 weeks ago, it's been 3 weeks ago now, I talked about the love of God and how much God loves you. And do we know that? Do we understand that? Can we grasp how much God loves us? Verse 19, and to know this, love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Y'all, this is the Word of God, and it says that we may be filled with all fullness. I don't know about y'all, but I don't always feel that in my life. I don't always feel the measure of fullness of God in my heart, in my life, each and every day. Then verse 20, this just blows me away. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. But do we expect that in our lives? I mean, I can't even fathom it. What God wants to do with each and every one of us. But how many of us are feeling that and living that out each and every day in our lives, are expecting that in our lives? God, today I submit to You. God, today I expect to hear from You and You to guide me, because I have faith that You exist, because I have faith. And that's what he was saying here, the faith. And Lord, fill me. Fill me with the measure. Fill me. See, I think many of us are just walking through lives in God's a little side note, in Jesus' little side note that we pray to and ask for forgiveness of our sins, but we really don't expect to hear from Him. We really don't expect that relationship. We really don't expect for Him to do immeasurably more than what we can fathom, than what we can understand. It's just, He's there. But we're making our decisions, we're living our lives, we're doing our thing, and if we have a major crisis, we call on Him. If we have a major failure, we call on Him. Jeremiah 29:11. Very familiar text. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. The Lord plans to prosper you. And not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Y'all, to me, I think sometimes we forget how personal the relationship should be between us and our Lord. We're called the bride of Christ. A husband and a wife, the intimacy that they should have, the knowing each other that they should have. The longer you're married, the more intimate, the more that you should know each other, the more that you can finish each other's sentences. Crystal will say something sometimes and I'll react and she's like, I knew you were going to say that. Before I even said it, she knew what I would say, how I would react. And y'all, to think that the God that created all the universe is saying, I have plans for a hope and a future for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you in that relationship that He desires with us. But I didn't want to just read that verse because oftentimes we just read verse 11 and we got verse 11 on our little note cards or posted on our refrigerators or whatever, you know, because we all want the hope, we all want the future. But then this goes on and it says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. That's pretty awesome to think about. That when we pray, God is there listening. But verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. See, I wonder if we're not in the relationship with God that we should be, because we're not really seeking Him with all of our heart. There's not the expectation of hearing from God. There's not the expectation of God guiding our lives because we're really not seeking Him with all of our heart. See, to me, that's key. We can't have verse 11 without verse 13. It just doesn't go. But many of us want verse 11. God, that you have plans for me to prosper me, that you've given me hope and a future. That sounds good. But to seek Him with all of our heart? It seems to me that many of us, we've settled for second best, third best, fourth best. We're not really expecting God to move in our life. We're not really expecting to hear from God in our lives. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Y'all, these are verses in the Bible. This is God's Word. But how many of us, we ask for things from God, but we don't really expect to hear. Am I alone in this, y'all? Because this is very, very personal to me. And maybe it's just for me this morning, but I think sometimes when I pray, I really don't expect an answer. Sometimes I feel like I'm just talking and there's nobody listening. Sometimes I think I'm just going through life and hoping, but I don't really have a firm faith and a firm foundation that God's there, that God's listening. And I'm praying for the power, I'm praying for the strength. And here, He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask and it will be given to you generously. So we've already read an abundance, more than we can imagine. Here, it's generously. See, I think that so many of us, we're missing out on God's best because God wants to give us so much more. He wants to give us so much more than we're asking for, than we're expecting. But this verse goes on also. This says, but verse 6, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the winds. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, man, unstable in all he does. See, I think that that's where the problem is if we are asking, we're doubting. We're really not expecting to hear from God. We're really not seeking Him out of a pure heart. He says He's going to give to us generously. But how many of us are praying and seeking God out of that pure heart and not doubting? Not doubting, just saying, God, I believe that You hear my prayers. God, I believe that You're there to answer my prayers. God, I believe that You want that relationship with me. Romans 4:3 says, what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Do we believe with the expectation of seeing God move in our lives? Do we really believe that God wants to interact with us, that God wants to shape and form us and mold us and move in our lives and take us on a day-to-day basis through every challenge, through every trial? To believe and not doubt. Think of some of the things throughout the Bible that we read that the people had to believe. And I was thinking of Rahab, the prostitute, and Joshua, that she hid the spies believing that the Israelites would take Jericho, and believing that they'd have to cross the Jordan. And the Bible says that the Jordan was at flood stage. And then they had to, Jericho was surrounded by these huge walls. So she had to believe that the Israelites were going to come, cross this flooded river, and conquer these huge walls. And what did the people do? They walked in obedience to God. And they marched around the city 7 days, right? One time each day, but on the seventh day, they marched around it 7 times. And what happened? The walls failed, right? Because God was greater, but they believed. How many of us really, really believe that God wants to move, that God wants to use us, that God wants to work in our life, and we live that with the expectation of hearing from God each and every day? Hebrews 11:24 says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Y'all, that's amazing to me that he chose to turn down all the wealth, all the privilege, all the riches to follow God. Why? Because he believed God. He knew God. He had that relationship with God. Verse 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. When the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Y'all, sometimes the things in our life that God wants to do, sometimes the things that God wants us to do are not always easy. Sometimes they're hard. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that fruit will remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. Ephesians 2:20, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in him. So right there, God chose us. God appointed us. God has work for us to do. So should we expect that God has a plan and purpose for our lives? I mean, let's just get real here for a minute. God has a plan and a purpose for you this morning. But I don't believe everybody in this room believes that. I don't believe that many of us are living each day expecting God to guide our life. That we're just living. We're just going. We've got our jobs to do. We've got our families to take care of. We've got our bills to pay. We've got our yards to mow. We've got our task. But we're not living each and every day giving up the riches of this world for God and His direction and His guidance in our life. The road isn't always easy living for the Lord. The road is sometimes hard. In Acts 9:11, it says the Lord told him, this is when Saul, after Saul has been blinded, and he's talking to Ananias. Verse 11, the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. Y'all, that's direction from God saying, go pray for this man. And he's saying, but wait a minute, Lord, this guy came to arrest me. This guy's coming to throw the Christians in jail. You think about it today, if God told you, load up and head over to Iraq. Head over to Iran. Go talk to those people about me. Wait a minute, Lord. There's Muslims that live over there and they'd love nothing more than to cut my head off. They'd love nothing more than to kill me. I mean, we read these stories as just stories, but y'all, the reality of what he was facing here, this man could have had him thrown into jail. This man could have had him killed. And the Lord said, go. Verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Jeremiah 29:11 plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you blessings. Oh, but Paul, Saul, he said he was going to have to suffer much. See, sometimes in our walk and our expectation of God, I think that we mess up sometimes because we expect the blessings. We expect the easy road. But we don't always get that. Sometimes it's a hard road. Sometimes it's a tough road. Sometimes it's listening to God and Him telling us to do this, this very thing that we would be the last thing in the world that we'd ever want to do. And maybe that's why we tune out God. Maybe that's why we're not listening to God, because maybe we're scared He's going to give us something too hard to do. Maybe it's because we're scared that He's going to ask us to sell our possessions. Maybe it's because we're scared He's going to ask us to go on a missionary journey. David killed a giant as a young man, little boy. And I always remember that story because he knew he wasn't coming against the giant in sword and in his own flesh, but he was coming against the giant in the power of God. And can I tell y'all something this morning? That anything that God asks you to do, He's going to equip you and He's going to be there with you. John 15:16 that we read, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand for us. See, God is there to equip us. God's there to lead us. God's there to guide us. But are we listening? Are we seeking Him? How can we kill a giant? How can we be used in a mighty way of God? How can all this happen? I mean, I'm just simple. I just live in little old Mansfield. I don't have much money. I don't have much riches. I don't have much knowledge. We all have excuses. How can God really use me? You think about Ananias, okay? We just read. Ananias says, but Lord, this guy's ready to kill me. But because of his obedience and going and praying, what did God do with Saul? He became Paul and became a great evangelist, wrote much of the New Testament. But what did it begin with? Ananias' obedience, right? See, even though you think you might not be great, you might not be much, but God can take your little bit and use you for such mighty things. And maybe you're going to impact somebody at work. Maybe you're going to impact somebody at Walmart. Maybe you're going to impact thousands and thousands of people. But maybe you're just going to impact that one person that God has set in your path. But how will we know unless we are listening? Unless we're expecting God to use us in our lives? How can we slay giants? How can we be used? Matthew 13, verse 44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. What's he saying there? Are you ready and willing to cast aside everything and to seek God with all of your heart, to listen, to hear His voice? Jeremiah 29:13, and when ye shall seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. When you search for me with all of your heart, that's when you'll find Him. That's when you'll find Him, when you're searching Him for Him with all of your heart, when you cast aside everything else, when these earthly things that cloud our minds so much. Y'all, Satan is here to distract us. In your everyday life, you get busy, you get working, you get going. We forget to pray. We forget to listen. I want to challenge y'all. I want to challenge y'all to begin to believe. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Do we believe? I want to challenge you to start exercising your faith. Start exercising your faith. And I don't know, I normally don't do this kind of thing, but I just have really felt impressed to do this, okay? I heard testimony of a preacher, and he's in his late 50s or something now, and he said that he went to a school, his high school had like 4,000 students in it, and said one day his teacher asked him to stay after class, and he stayed after class, and she said, you know, I want you to know that God has placed you here for a purpose. That there's 4,000 students here, and I believe that God wants to use you to reach them. And she said, go home. I challenge you, go home and write down 5 names of classmates and begin to pray for them. And see and trust that God will open up the door for you to talk to them. He said he'd never really taken his his walk with God that seriously. He knew God. He trusted God. But he said that something in him clicked and something in him changed. And he went home and wrote down five names and every night prayed for those people. And said that there was one young man and said that he was the kind of the cool kid back then. And he said he kind of would stand outside and smoke and kind of, he said he wasn't a kid that he would normally associate with at all. But said that he had been praying for this kid. I don't know how long he'd been praying for him. And said one day he ran into him and he said, "Ben, I'd like to talk to you after school." Said he began to talk to the kid after school. The kid agreed to meet with him. And that kid accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he said, "You know, we didn't know, and that boy couldn't have known, that he had a tumor growing inside of him. And within 9 months, he was gone." He said, "Nobody knew it at the time. But he was faithful, and he began to pray, and he began to seek God, and expected to hear from God on how to handle situations." Y'all, I would challenge you to go home. I don't know what it is. Maybe write down 2, 3, 4, 5 things and begin to faithfully pray about those things. I'm not saying that it's for coworkers. I'm not saying it's for children. I'm not saying that you need to write down somebody to pray for salvation. Maybe it's something in your life. Maybe it's a personal struggle. Maybe you need deliverance from something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I'm just telling you. He says, when you seek Him with all your heart, He will be found. And let's take this serious and let's go home and just write down 2 or 3 things. I'm going to make myself do it. And I'm going to try to begin to pray about those things faithfully each and every day. And then watch and see if God will not work in your life. But y'all, don't write something down, throw it off to the side, and say, "There you go, God." And don't pray about it, and don't seek Him. It's when you seek Him with all your heart. It's when you seek Him with all your heart. Y'all, I don't want us to slip through life with just an average, ordinary, nothing special life when God had something extraordinary that He wanted to do with you. And y'all, your extraordinary might be your children. Your extraordinary might be like Ananias. I don't know who all Ananias touched, but where you are able to impact one life, then God's going to use that one life. But it's listening to God each and every day and expecting to hear from Him and expecting His guidance. I'm going to tell you, some of the worst times in my life since I've been a Christian is when God's gone silent. And then I'm going, "God, what have I done? Where..." Y'all, that's a different sermon. There is times that we don't hear from God. But most of the time when I didn't hear from God, you know who was at fault? Me. It's because I had allowed a sin in my life. It's because I wasn't seeking Him with all my heart. It's because I really wasn't expecting to hear from Him. So let's stand. And let's just pray. Lord, first I pray for forgiveness of sins. I confess, Lord, I fall short. I have fallen short this week. Lord, I pray for a fresh touch and a cleansing in my life. I pray for a fresh touch and a cleansing in the body of believers that's here this morning, Lord. Lord, for the times that we're busy, the times that we're just going through the motions, Lord, that we don't really have faith, we don't really expect to hear from You, we just pray, but we don't ever really expect to hear back. Father, forgive us of that. Lord, I pray that right now You would be quickening to every heart in here, Lord, someone to pray for an issue in their life, something that needs to change. Whatever it is, Lord, that right now You would begin to place that upon every heart in here, Lord, and that we would go home, that we would write it down, we'd put it in our notes and our phones, that we'd put it someplace, and that we would begin to pray, and that we would begin to seek You each and every day with all of our heart. Father, I pray that we would be amazed. Your Word says immeasurably more than we can even imagine that You want to do for us. Lord, that we would be amazed at how You begin to guide, how You begin to direct our lives, how You begin to give us the strength to overcome. Your Word says that we're more than overcomers. And Father, I pray that for every person in here that we would all become more than overcomers. That we would begin to walk in that abundant life. Lord, I'm not talking about abundance and blessings of earthly. Lord, I'm talking about abundance in the spiritual realm. Lord, the abundance of hearing Your voice, the abundance of Your Holy Spirit flowing through us and directing us, the expectation, Lord, of hearing Your voice, of You guiding us each and every day. Father, may this just not be another sermon that we forget about as soon as we hit the back door. May this be something that sinks in to every heart, to every soul here this morning, Lord, that we would begin to pray with the expectation of hearing. Lord, that we would begin to pray with the expectation of victory in our own lives. Lord, how deep, how wide the love that You have for each one of us. May we begin to walk in that, in victory, each and every day. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Y'all, just spend some time with the Lord right now. Close your eyes. Don't be looking around. Confess whatever it is and begin to seek God. Begin to believe that He wants that relationship with you, that personal, that intimate relationship with you. That He wants to guide your life, that He wants to direct you. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's a tough path. Sometimes there's giants in the way. But God says He'll not leave you as orphans, that He'll never abandon you. And God's going to be there to guide you and direct you every step of the way. But it's when we seek Him with all our heart. When we cast aside everything else.
Thank You for the cross, You reign victorious.
I will end with these two things. Try to be a good listener. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes somebody will be telling me something and I'm halfway listening, and then they'll say something that kind of perked my interest, and I'm like, now wait a minute, what was you saying? Because then I want to hear it. I fight it, and I know some of you fight it. Last night, we was over at Amy's house, and there was two different times I started saying something, and I could tell the focus just went completely off of me, and I just stopped mid-sentence, and I thought, nobody's listening. They don't care. Be a good listener, especially when God is speaking. It's hard sometimes. You have to practice sometimes being a good listener. And I don't know why, but I was thinking, and I think I told y'all about this story. It was 2 or 3 months ago, and it seems like it was up in the northeast. I can't remember exactly where it happened, but they were having all this flooding. And a man, there was signs up that said road closed. And the man drove around the road closed signs, and it cost him his life. He was swept away. He thought that he could make it. And cost him his life. Y'all, there's some times in my life, and I'm not going to lie to you, that there was a road closed sign up, and I pushed it aside, and I went through anyway. I'm talking about spiritually. Be careful. When God's throwing up the road closed sign, when God's throwing up the warning signals, listen. Listen. He'll give us an answer. Sometimes it's not always the answer you want. But if we're listening and seeking Him with all of our heart, we can expect to hear from Him, because He loves us and He wants that relationship with you. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.